Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures podcast. My name is Murray Shanks. During this week, I was reading in the Psalms and I came across Psalm 34. It's a wonderful psalm, and I thought I'd share some thoughts with you today from this part of God's Word. Psalm 34 is a psalm attributed to David. David says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips." Extol isn't a word that we use very often. It means I will lift up or I will glorify. David says that he will lift up and glorify the Lord at all times, regardless of how he's feeling. At all times, his praise will always be on his lips. It's as though David has decided that he will do this, regardless of his circumstances, regardless of how much he may not want to at any given moment. He will lift up and glorify the Lord. And we need to do exactly the same thing. He then moves from glorifying the Lord to boasting about him. He says, "My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." What do we boast about? We boast about stuff that we think's awesome, don't we? We might boast about our kids if they do something that we're really proud of. I'm always boasting about my kids because I'm proud of them. It also makes them feel good. When we boast about God, it makes him feel good and it gives glory to God. David says that he will boast about what God has done in his life. And when he does that, the afflicted, those having a really hard time, will rejoice when they hear about how great God is. Glorify the Lord with me. David says, "Come on, guys, let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Do you see, David is boasting about God. "Those who look to him are radiant," he says. "Their faces are never covered with shame." Those who look to God are happy. Their faces are radiant. In other words, their lives are good and they've got something to be happy about. Their faces aren't covered in shame because shame comes when we sin and when we keep our eyes on God, when we keep looking to him, when we keep focusing on him. We start to get free from sinful behavior. Verse 6, "This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles." David's saying, "Look at me, look at my life. Do you see how God has saved me through all my troubles?" But he then says something that is truly wonderful, truly life-changing. He says in verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Now, you need to remember, when David wrote these words, it wasn't when he was king of Israel, sitting safely in Jerusalem with all of his enemies subdued. David wrote these words while Saul and his men were still pursuing him. David wrote these words when things were so bad that he and this group of fugitives he had gathered around him had decided to defect to the Philistines, literally to the enemy. Yet David says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him." Isn't that a great image? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. In another psalm of David's, in Psalm 4, he writes, this is in verse 8, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Life can so often feel as though our enemies are coming at us from all angles, can't it? At times, things really can feel quite wretched. It can seem as though our situation is truly hopeless. Yet the Word of God says that he encamps around those who fear him to keep them safe from attack. I don't know what for you feels like attack or danger. Maybe it's a situation at work. Things beyond your control are causing you real problems and you feel vulnerable and weak. Maybe something's been happening at school or uni or college that's making you feel like you don't want to go back this week. Literally, you are scared of what this week may hold for you. Maybe your situation at home is not good. Maybe you feel like you're under attack right there in your own home and there's nowhere to go to escape. Can I encourage you today with this truth? God encamps around those who fear him. Now, I'm not saying that it won't be difficult. Often God uses these times to teach us some of the things that we need to learn. And often we are in this situation more from our own failings than anything else. I know that when I think back to the times when I was bullied at school, often I'd simply been a jerk and I needed to learn the lesson, don't act like a jerk if you want to get on with people. Or there were times when I felt like my boss was being pretty hard on me. I look back now and think, maybe I was slacking off and not giving my best. That said, there are times when, through no fault of our own, we are under attack and we can be greatly encouraged to know that God surrounds those who fear him to keep them safe. Next, David says in verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I want you to think about the tastiest thing you can. What is the one thing that when you eat it, you just can't believe how good it is, how great it tastes? Think about the explosion of flavor as you bite into it. I now want you to think for a moment about where the flavor comes from. It doesn't come from you, does it? The flavor is tied up in the food. You just receive the flavor when you take the food and eat it. That's what God's grace is like. That's what God's goodness is like. It's there waiting for you to receive it. His grace is available. It's wonderful. It is fantastic. And the Lord is longing to give it to you. But he won't force you to eat it. He asks that we receive it. That's why David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. God wants us to respond to him. He wants us to taste, to accept his love, and he wants us to take refuge in him. I'm guessing that a lot of you guys don't have kids yet, but I'm sure you can remember being a little kid. Do you remember what it was like when you'd fallen over and skinned your knee and it hurt just so bad? Do you remember what it was like to crawl into your mom or dad's lap and then once you were there, everything just seemed to be okay? Or for those who are parents, you know what it's like when one of your little ones climbs in and they're just hysterical. You can't even understand what they're saying. But you give them a cuddle and you can feel them calming down. They know that they're safe within your protective arms and suddenly everything looks different for them. God doesn't want you to handle life on your own. He wants you to climb in and take refuge in him, just like a little child. Now, this is where things can get a little confusing. See, David gives us this image of taking refuge in God, but he then says, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. How do you take refuge in the one that you must fear? In C.S. Lewis's beloved series, the Narnia Chronicles, there's a now famous question asked about Aslan the lion. Aslan, the son of the emperor across the sea. The question is asked, is he a tame lion? And the answer is given, no, he's not tame, but he is good. The same can be said of God. He's not tame, no way, but he is good. We don't worship a tame God. We worship a God whose anger rages against sin and evil. We worship a God who won't be used or exploited. And we worship a God who won't share his glory with anyone. We worship a God who is just downright scary. But he is good, and he loves those who fear him. And he wants us to find refuge in him. This is the central verse of this psalm. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Do you want to lack nothing? Do you want a life of abundance? I know I do. Then fear God. That is the secret to an abundant life, the fear of God. The book of Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear God, your life becomes like a tree that is planted in just the right spot. You can't help but thrive. When you fear God, you place him at the very center of your life, And when he's at the center of your life thrives. Why? Because God is the very core of existence. He is the very essence of life itself. He's the very source of everything. So when God is placed in his rightful position, at the very center of your world will thrive. It will thrive in every way. You know, I think sometimes life can be a little bit like the spin cycle in the washing machine. You know, when the clothes have been washed, the machine spins the clothes so quickly that all the water gets flung out, and then they're ready to be hung out on the line to dry. Life can be like that. Life just seems to be going faster and faster and faster. It sometimes feels as though it's all happening, and there's so much happening that you can't control. It's all happening around you and you don't have control over very much of it at all. What happens in the washing machine if all the clothes are on the one side? What happens to the machine? It begins to lurch and jump around, doesn't it? It goes crazy. That's because everything is out of balance. Your life will be like that when God isn't at the center of your life. Your life will be out of control. Think of your life as having lots of concentric circles. Think of all the things which make up parts of your life. Some things are really important. They're things that are toward the center of your life. Things like family and relationships and work, your education, sport, love interests, etc. They're all really important and they should be toward the center, but they aren't to be the center. What happens when the wrong thing is placed at the center of your life is that it starts to wobble. Everything seems out of balance, and eventually it falls in a heap. When we fear God, we essentially give him his rightful place at the very center of our lives. And when that happens, your life will start to spin uniformly and smoothly. It may take a while for things to find their right place and for the mess to settle down, but eventually your life will start to run as God wants it to run. That's why David says in this psalm, "Fear God and you'll lack for nothing." Verse 10 says, "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Of all the animals, which are the most able to provide for themselves? The ones at the top of the food chain, right? Lions are at the top of the food chain. They are the ones least likely to grow weak and hungry. They are the most self-sufficient. David's saying, even the most independent, self-reliant ones will go hungry, but not those who seek the Lord. They will lack no good thing. The secret to surviving the spin cycle of life, the secret to a successful life, is to fear God, to place him at the very center of your life. So how do you do that? Well, David gives us the answer. Verse 11, he says, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." David makes it so clear. Often we can try to make life so complicated, yet David just says, this is how you fear God. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Be careful about what you talk about. Make sure that you always speak truth. And then make sure that your actions line up with your words. Say good things and then do good things. Do you see? Your behavior is intimately connected to your words. You think about it. You know someone who's always telling crude, filthy jokes? Are you surprised when you discover that they've done something crude, filthy, or disgusting? You're not, are you? Because we expect people's behaviour to line up with their words. If I meet a man who speaks about a woman in a disrespectful way, I fully expect that man to behave disrespectfully toward women. The same is true of violent words. Violent words lead to violent behaviour. lazy words lead to a lazy attitude and then laziness. So the fear of God starts with watching what comes out of our mouth and then making sure that our behavior lines up with those words. But that's pretty hard, isn't it? I mean, have you ever really struggled to do that? I know I have. When we were about 16, Louise used to challenge me a lot about the words that came out of my mouth. And I used to argue that they were only words. They didn't mean anything. But she was right, wasn't she? Words, the words that come out of our mouth are important. They give a pretty good indication of the state of our heart and our mind. The reality is, though, this is hard to do. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's impossible to do, that is, without help. To fear God and to live the life that God wants you to live, you need the Holy Spirit living in you, transforming you from the inside out. In Romans 12, we find the Apostle Paul saying, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We all need a mind transformation, and that's exactly what the Lord offers us when we invite him to live within us. We also need a heart transformation, and that's exactly what the Lord offers us as well. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." God knows how hard it is. He knows that it's impossible to be the people that he wants us to be, but he gives us the power to live how he wants us to live. He also gives us the power, through the Holy Spirit, to put God at the center of our lives. As the Holy Spirit gradually changes our heart and mind, he always works for our good. And the very best thing for a human being is to have God at the very center of everything we are and do. He gradually teaches us through all the hard times we experience with him walking with us. So when your life feels like the spin cycle is all out of balance, it is because God is not at the center of your life. But God will use that wobble, that hard time, to teach you something about him and about yourself. And he will help you place himself at the center. Did you know that with God, you cannot ever fail the exam? There's no such thing as an F from God. God won't let you fail the exam. He just asks that you sit the test again and again and again until you learn the lesson that you need to learn. If your life feels a bit like it's wobbling all over the place and it just keeps going wobble, 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 maybe you need to think about what's happening here. And ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me in all of this? How's my speech, the words that are coming out of my mouth, going? Am I being disrespectful to my parents or my employer? Am I being argumentative with my husband or my wife? Is there something in my behavior that needs to change? Is God in his rightful place at the center of my life? The world will tell you that there are lots of things that you need to worry about to make your life spin smoothly. Can I just say to you today, not from me, but directly from God's word, just make sure that God is at the center of everything that you do, and your life will spin just fine. Can I encourage you to find some time to sit down and just quietly read through Psalm 34? Meditating on the words. There's a whole heap of promises that flow on from living a life that is centered around God. God promises to keep his eyes on you, watching and protecting you. He promises to listen for your cries for help and then to come to your aid. He promises to deliver you from all your troubles, to be close to the brokenhearted and to save those who are crushed in spirit. He promises to deal with the wicked and those who have wronged you. And finally, he promises that no one will be condemned if they take refuge in him. Have a listen. This is from verse 15 onwards. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Amen.